who can cast their memory back to school when you had to do history. It wasn't one of my greatest subjects, particularly the life and times of kings and queens. When obviously I was doing a theological study, we had to do history too, kings and queens of the Old Testament. And today I want to draw some lessons, indeed not a history lesson, but some lessons, spiritual lessons that we can develop from a great king in the Old Testament. And his name was Hezekiah. For me, Hezekiah inspires me with three things. First, he sought revival with God. Hezekiah was the 14th king of Judah, and he'd reigned in Jerusalem for some 40 years. He came to the throne when he was about 25 years of age, but he did not start his reign by building a big house, gathering wealth, or seeking pleasure. His first action in coming king was to bring revival back into the kingdom and to the nation. And basically, we know the parallel from the New Testament. It's seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. It doesn't mean to say we won't have these things. It says these things will be added unto us when we put God first. And so that his first action was to bring revival. And to do that, he had to bring reform. And they had to change the mindset of the religious people of his day. Because Judea at this time were in idolatrous worship. And Hezekiah saw the need for immediate and sweeping changes. And that, of course, suits our world in which we live in today. We need to see change. Change. And with Hezekiah, the first change he wanted to bring was to bring revival by renewing again the principles of God. And the first thing we need for our lives, as it says in 2 Kings 18, 1-12, is to reform. But we all know the famous verse, don't we, in Romans 12, verse 1, which says, be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. And that's what Hezekiah wanted to do. And to do it, he sent forth his people to destroy everything that presented a stumbling block to Israel. And you know, sometimes our tradition can prevent us from moving forward in God. Sometimes our religious practices can prevent us from moving on in God. And do you remember in the story of Exodus, children of Israel were being as they were in the days of Hezekiah, idolatrous worship, and doing things that God would obviously not want them to do, and they just carried on doing them, and so God sent a plague, and thousands died. And they cried to God for salvation and repented before God. And the great news, of course, is when we repent, God is gracious to forgive. But what did he do? He said to Moses, go and get a serpent and make it of brass. Make a brass serpent and put it on a pole. And if everybody looks at that serpent, they'll be healed. And they had to do something, of course. They had to go out and look at that brazen serpent. But of course, as soon as they did, they were healed. But that brazen serpent was a great deliverer for Israel. But it became a great snare. Because in the time of Hezekiah, they were still had this pole and this snake on this pole. But they were worshipping it. They were worshipping it. This idolatrous practice. A bit like Romans chapter 1. It said they worshipped the created things rather than the creator. And we need to really take a step back and ask ourselves, is there anything in our lives, anything in our lives that we are putting before God, anything that we are making a worship of, whether that be anything in our lives. And we just need to examine that. Because what happened is Hezekiah said, right, destroy that pole. Destroy that symbolic you're worshipping. And he destroyed it. What a shame he had to destroy something because the people were being led to worship that thing. So is there anything in your life, material or spiritual, which you cherish and garden? You're giving it the worship and the love that really only belongs to God. Now God said he's a jealous God and he wants us to love and put him first and above everything that we do. So let's ask ourselves that question this morning and let's examine ourselves. And if there's something we need to do, we can come and repent and bring revival and renewal to ourselves. So Hezekiah said, yeah, we need to have revival. But during King Hezekiah's time, there's a wicked king came. This wicked king sought to destroy Israel. In fact, he came and he demanded money, he demanded finance, he demanded the treasuries. And Hezekiah gave him lots of things and tried to make peace treaties. But no, this king said, no, your God cannot deliver you. I've come all the way from hundreds and hundreds of miles. I've destroyed over 42 cities on my way here. So listen, all the other gods could not prevent me taking over. And neither can your God. That dangerous thing, the Bible says, to fall into the hands of a living God. And certainly the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. And whatever a man sows, that he shall reap. And this man was sowing some stuff into his life. Hezekiah thought, no, you can scoff my God. But the second thing I want you to know about Hezekiah is he said, I'm relying upon God. So he wanted to bring renewal. And then when times got rough, he said, I can rely. And this is what it says. After reigning for 14 years as king, Shechaniah, king of Assyria, launched a massive attack. He destroyed many cities and villages in Judea, forcing Hezekiah to plead for mercy. Extremely harsh terms were imposed upon Hezekiah, who was obliged to strip the gold from the temple and hand it over to this wicked king. And he did. But even this act of submission did not satisfy this king. And so he proceeded to lay siege to the city of Jerusalem. And you know, the old saying, blackmail never stops. Once you start paying, you're paying for life. And so Hezekiah realized he had a real problem here. And so he then decided he would do something about it. Now, those of you who have been to Jerusalem, of course, will probably have heard of King Hezekiah's tunnel. Here it is. It's a picture of it. Because he was a bit of a smart cookie, Hezekiah. And the reason the tunnel is there was so that water could be brought in underneath the ground. So these kings, you see, in the olden days, they would surround the city. And for years, just surround the city to starve the people of water and of food. And so Hezekiah brought this tunnel. And it's called King Hezekiah's Tunnel. You can walk through it today if you want to go to Jerusalem. But Hezekiah did not rely on that tunnel. Hezekiah, although he had built this wonderful tunnel, did not rely on it. He didn't rely on his armies. He didn't rely on his artillery, his weapons. No, he relied totally upon God. The first thing it is, he sends for Isaiah, and it says to Isaiah, listen, we need God. We need God here. Isaiah, we're in big, big trouble. All the odds are against us. It looks as if nothing can help us or save us, but we want you to go and seek God. Because we rely upon him. And Hezekiah sent Isaiah off, and Isaiah came back and said, listen, God says you can rely on me. I will destroy your enemies. You see, as time goes on, Hezekiah receives a threatening personal letter demanding surrender. And what did he do with this letter? Friends, he's a really great, great key. It says Hezekiah went in before the Lord. He spread his letter out before God, and he prayed, and he prayed. Oh, it says, he spread his letter before the Lord, and he prayed to God. And the importance of this incident cannot be overestimated. It totally relies upon prayer, totally relies upon reliance upon God. And this incident recorded in Scripture surely, surely should encourage us that we have got problems this morning. Our confidence is in a living God. Remember what the Bible says. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. 1 John chapter 5, 14 to 15. Could it be this morning that you, like Hezekiah, are confronted with a problem or a situation which strikes fear and terror before your heart? Then do as Hezekiah did. Why don't you spread it out before the Lord this morning, believing in prayer that the God who answered Hezekiah will answer you too. Well, one night as Jerusalem lay under siege by the Assyrian armies, God suddenly acts and brings about the death of 185,000 men by sending an avenging angel through the camp. And that night the angel of the Lord went out to put death to these men. He also whispered into this wicked king a rumor that something was going on, and so this king left and he went back to his hometown. And he went into his temple, and he was murdered by his two sons, just exactly as Isaiah had predicted. Friend, we have a God we can rely on this morning. And if God's given you a word this morning, you can rely on it this morning. First of all, Hezekiah wanted to bring revival and renewal. Second of all, when he came with his problems, he knew he could rely upon God. And the third thing, very important thing, Hezekiah was known for righteousness. We start with good news and bad news. The bad news is Hezekiah becomes sick. And that sickness is so severe that Hezekiah calls for Isaiah again. He says, please, I don't want to die. Who wants to die? Hezekiah says, I don't want to die. And so what does Hezekiah do? Does it exactly as he did before. He spreads out his problem before God. And he turns to God. And he cries to God to heal him. And the good news is that God says to Isaiah, go back and tell him, I'm going to give him 15 years. Now listen, I'm not guaranteeing you that if you're sick, that God's guaranteeing you extra years. But what I am saying is spread it out before God. And you see, if you listen carefully to the voice of God and do what is right in my eyes, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Exodus 15:26. Hezekiah would know that. Listen carefully to the voice of God. If you do what is right, if you're righteous, you can come before me. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Most of us will fall sick. And we can do everything to get well. We can visit doctors, which I certainly recommend. And take prescriptions. I recommend that too. But you know, the first thing we do is when we get sick, is we should spread it before God and say to God, God, I'm sick, I need healing. Naturally go to the doctors, but you've taken it first of all to God. Do that. Take it before God. Remember, God is the one who heals you. So you see, this man Hezekiah was a man who brought revival and renewal. He was a man who totally relied upon God. He was a man of righteousness. When he became a young boy and king, first thing he did was seek first the kingdom of God. Then he decided to do everything else. You see, Hezekiah has been called one of Scripture's favorite characters. There's a large amount of space allotted to him. After Solomon, who we know a lot about, the rest of the kings, very little is known. Just a few lines, but Hezekiah. There's an awful lot said about Hezekiah, because Hezekiah dedicated himself to God. He was deeply aware of God's purpose and steadfastly pursued it in it. He knew revival had to come. He knew renewal had to come. He knew reliance upon God. He knew about righteousness. And he sought to purify Israel. God's law was his guiding star in his private and his public and his personal life. Let me ask you, what is our private life, our public life, and our personal life like? With God, you see, our private life and our public life are one and the same. There is no sacred and secular divide. Whatever we do during the week at work is our secular life, but it is important to God to have righteousness in it. Our Sunday morning worship, our sacred life, is important for God to have righteousness. There is no difference between your sacred life and your secular life. I pray that God will help us to understand that so that we might be righteous before him. In each threatening situation, he knew he exactly could rely upon God. Why? Because he believed God's word. He trusted in it by being righteous and therefore claiming God's promise of healing. I want to finish with this. No wonder it was said of him, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. None like him. Because he brought revival, renewal, he could seek reliance upon his God, and he's a man who sought himself after righteousness. I pray this little spiritual history lesson would have helped us this morning and encouraged. We can all be King Hezekiah's. It can all be said of us. There is none like him among all the kings, either before him or after him. May God bless you as we look at Hezekiah's life again in your own private time. In Jesus' name, amen.